We have great times that we rejoice in. We rejoice today in a number of different things. Had some deaths last week, a lot of sickness, a lot of things that went on. One of our people that was sick last week was our seniors minister, Brother Reedy, and I had told him not to come today, but like a good free will Baptist, he's hard-headed, and he came anyway, and we appreciate him getting out of a sick bed, out of the hospital, and coming to be with us in the house of the Lord today. That means a lot to us. We do not have a special today. It's Family Day. We do have an object lesson for you today. I'm going to ask Brother Todd. He didn't know he was going to volunteer for this, but Brother Todd is going to volunteer to help us with our object lesson today. Isn't he? Isn't he wonderful? Oh, come on. If you don't, I'll sing. Then we're in deep trouble. All right. All right. We believe in the power of prayer at Lebanon Church, and so we're going to kind of get Todd to do that prayer thing today. He's going to show our kids how you fix your hands to pray. I know you prayed before. Yes. It may have been a long time ago, but I know you've done it. All right. And so one time there was a man, he was watching nature, and as he watched, he saw an eagle that was flying around, and he saw that eagle dart down, and when that eagle darted down, he picked up a weasel and grabbed him in his claws and started taking him up. And the hunter said, "Boy, I'll tell you what, that weasel's had it now." But as he watched for a little while, suddenly the hawk that was the eagle that was there started falling to the ground. And he said, "What in the world is going on?" So he found the eagle that had fallen. Clutched in the claws of the eagle was that weasel. But what had happened was that weasel had actually taken that hawk, turned his head, and bit into the heart of that eagle. And so he had actually ended up killing the one that thought they were going to kill him. Now that's what happens in our lives many times when we allow things into our lives that we think we can control, but those things actually end up controlling us. They have a parable in India that we use all the time about the banyan tree. The banyan tree is one of the biggest trees there are in India. It has tremendous root system. It grows real tall. One day the banyan tree was in its might talking about how great it was, and a little small vine said, "You know what? I'd like to lean up against you." Well, the banyan tree said, "Well, that's no problem to me. I'm a big, strong banyan tree." And so the vine began to lean up against the banyan tree. After a while, the vine began to climb the banyan tree, began to wrap around more and more and more around that banyan tree. And as it began to wrap around that banyan tree, it began to suck the very life out of that banyan tree. And after a while, the banyan tree said to the vine, "Listen, you've got to leave, because you're sucking all the life out of me." And the vine said, "I wish I could, but I can't. You see, I build my life now on you. I suck all of your life into my life, and I have actually become to depend completely on you." And that's what sin will do. First the man takes the drink, then the drink takes the drink, and then the drink takes the man. Same thing with drugs. You start taking some drugs and some things of that nature, and next thing you know, what will happen is those drugs will begin to take you, and they'll control you, and they'll control your finances and your family and everything there is about you. Now, I know that Brother Todd's not much to look at. Don't say amen to that. You don't have to amen to that. All right. But Brother Todd works in construction work. Well, let's just put it this way. He shows up. We're not sure how much work he accomplishes when he goes. What I want you to do is to try to break that bond that's around you right now. Now, I know that Miss Gwen here is a good, strong lady here. Miss Gwen, see if you can break that little wire for me there, all right? Look, Miss Gwen, you're so strong. Well, Todd, have you broken yours yet? Uh-oh. Well, we know that Miss Betty, now she is a really strong lady here. See if you can break that. Just don't cut your hand if you do, I'm in trouble, all right? Oh, by the way, my wife didn't know I stole this thread, so y'all got to pray for me, all right? All right. What happens sometimes in our lives?
I cut my phone.
I've been wanting to do this for a long time. All right. Thank you, bud. You were so nice. All right. Give the man a hand, for he did real good. Our scripture is taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Life has a tendency to bind us down many times. I hope the preacher had spit in this water. No taste like Miss Leslie. All right, we're fine. Okay. Good. All right. There we go. All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 tells a tremendous story, and in the middle of that, or the end of that, has a tremendous verse for us to be aware of in our lives. The story goes like this. 2 Chronicles, that's about midways your Old Testament. Kings and Chronicles. The difference is, by the way, that Chronicles describes the events of the Israelites from the perspective of Judah. It was written by a priest, and you will never find a bad king of Judah in Chronicles. You will find one in Kings, because it was written from a historical perspective, but the preachers never did find anything wrong with the kings in Judah. And so they wrote Chronicles, and that's the difference between the two. They cover a lot of the same territory. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, it says, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asha-Basha. Okay, say those words together. Asha-Basha. I like that. That's just neat. All right. You got Asha, and then Asha is the king of Judah, and Basha is the king of Israel. They're two different names, but they go well together. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asha, Basha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramoth to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asha, king of Judah. Now, sort of keep your finger there for just a moment. We're going to talk about, as we go through this, some ways that Satan's going to use some things in our lives to keep us from being what we ought to be. And so what Basha is doing is he's saying, I want to put a chokehold on Asha. I want to put a chokehold on Judah. So he builds the city of Ramoth, and that's built in such a way in the mountains until no one could come into Judah or leave Judah without going through Ramoth. And so Basha said, if I control Ramoth, I control Judah, because I control everything that comes in and goes out. I have built a chokehold on them. Verse 2, then Asher brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Basha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened to the king Asha, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ajan and Dan and Abelmaim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Basha heard it, that he left off building up Ramoth and let his work cease. Then Asha took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramoth and the timbers thereof, wherewith Basha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. Now we're going to read a couple more verses. Don't close your Bible. Keep it there handy. But here's the story so far. Basha, the king of Israel, has come up against Asha and the people of Judah, trying to destroy them, trying to defeat them. And he tries to build this chokehold called Ramoth to keep them from doing what they need to do. Well, that very same thing is what Satan tries to do in your life as a person. Satan tries to build a chokehold in your life to keep you from being able to do what you need to do for God. It could be a simple thing. It could be your family. If Satan cannot defeat you, he will try to defeat someone whose defeat will defeat you. It may be that you determine in your life you're going to live for God, and you're going to serve God, and you're going to be the very best you can for God. But a wayward child, a rebellious husband or wife, someone in your family has such an impact on you, such an influence in your life, until they choke your ability to be used for God. Satan will try to use your family to choke you. Satan will try to use your busy schedule. Luke chapter 8, verse 14, when Jesus told the story about the sowing of the seeds, he said this, "And they which fell among thorns are they, which when they had heard, go forth and are choked with cares," that's the pressures of life, "and riches," that's making money, "and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." If Satan cannot use your family to choke your ability to serve God, he will try to use the pressures of life, the busy schedule that you have, to keep you from serving God. And that's exactly what happens. We've seen it over and over and over again. That people allow the schedules they have, the things they have to do, to keep them from being involved in service for God. But if Satan cannot use family or busy schedules, he will choke you through your failures. He will say in your life that you have two big burdens to bear. It may be that you have a burden in your life that no one knows anything else about. It may be that there is a situation that you're having to deal with that no one else is aware of. It could be something as simple as, and certainly not a simple thing, but as simple as depression. Most of you know that my main problem I have to deal with is depression. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat worms. And sometimes I just don't have a reason for eating worms. I just want to eat worms. They don't taste good. Never have tasted good. But yet, that just... And you can't say feel better, because that don't work. It's just there in your life. Some people have to deal with those kind of burdens. Some people have to deal with physical burdens, with psychological burdens. But you have burdens that choke you and don't allow you to do what you want to do and need to do for God. Sometimes we are choked by not just the burdens we have to bear, but by the baggage we have to carry. We carry things that happened in our past. Did you know why the hardest people in the world to win to the Lord are your family? Because they know you. They've seen all the times that you acted like a child and did things that were not necessarily appropriate and cut them temper tantrums and they've seen the way you've acted. They've seen the times you came home from church and said, "Oh, sorry, preacher, I can't stand it. Oh, I'm so mad I can't hardly stand it." They've seen that in your life. They've seen whenever someone at the church did something and you didn't like what they did. They've seen all those things that you have in your life. And you have baggage that you carry. Some of you carry baggage from marriages, from work-related issues, from all kind of things. There are things that sometimes people do in their youth that they have to carry baggage for all of their life. And when they finally got big enough and old enough, if they could... Now, God forgives the past. Blessed be His holy name. He forgives the past. But people don't forget the past. And they remember the burdens you bear and the baggage that you carry, and sometimes we're choked down by the badness that we do. sometimes it's hard for a preacher, y'all ought to straighten up and do better, when the preacher knows in his heart that the preacher ought to straighten up and do better. See, it's hard for Sunday school teachers sometimes to look at their, especially their teens maybe, and say, y'all need to be better, y'all need to be perfect teens, just like I, let's go there. Because when you were a teen, you may have made some really bad decisions and made some really bad things. And it may be in your life today that there are times that you want to tell others how good they ought to be, but you are choked in your ability to do that because you actually are not what you're supposed to be. And you're intimidated by your own badness. So this is what was happening. Baasha said, I'm going to come in and I'm going to choke Asha down. I'm going to keep him from doing what he needs to do. Well, what did Asha do? He thought this out. He said, I need to do this. I got to fix this. Something's got to give here. Man, I can't live like this. Something's got to happen here. And so Asha did the best he knew how to do. He said, I need something to put pressure on Baasha. So I'll go to Ben-Hadad. Well, I know Ben-Hadad doesn't like me. In fact, Ben-Hadad is my enemy. But because Ben-Hadad is someone who likes money, I can find some money, and therefore I'm going to buy Ben-Hadad to see if he'll attack Baasha. So he takes his own gold, and he takes the gold of God. And he says, let me buy Ben-Hadad with my own gold and with the gold of God. Do you know how many people rob God every week because they want something? Now, it could be something, quote-unquote, innocent in your life that has turned into a chokehold in your life. You could say, "Listen, I'm under so much pressure. I have got to get away from things sometimes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy a house, a boat, or whatever, you know, fill in the blank with whatever you fill in the blank with there." All right? And what happens is, whatever you buy, whatever you put to say, that's the only place I can find relaxation. I can't find relaxation in the house of God. I can't find relaxation with the people of God. I have to find relaxation somewhere else. Then those things begin to suck up all of your resources, because when you're young, and I've got a nephew that's young and he wants to buy a car, and I tell him, I say, listen, that's wonderful. How much is your payment? Oh, Mike, it's only so-and-so and so-and-so is my payment. I said, that's wonderful. I said, well, now, how much are your insurance going to be? You have to pay insurance? I said, yeah, you have to pay insurance. Well, how much will your taxes be? You mean you're going to charge me taxes? More than you can imagine. They're going to charge you taxes. How about when you have to change the oil? Have you got a schedule to change the oil? You have to change the oil in cars? Yeah, you have to change the oil. I know Aunt Pawpaw doesn't do that, but I do that for her. All right? I mean, I take care of that. Well, how about, do you know how many miles per gallon it gets and how much your gas is going to cost you? Well, Daddy always put gas in it. Do I have to put gas in it? Yeah, you got to put gas in it, too. And what happens is, we get things, boat, houses, vacation places, whatever. I mean, I'm not, whatever you've got that's choking you down from serving God, whatever it would be. It could be something like they don't call them Nintendo now, they call them PlayStation. I can't think of the name, PlayStation now. It could be one of those game things. Well, if you've got a PlayStation, it's no good unless you've got games to go with it. And when you get one game, it's no good because you done gone through that one in a little while. You want another game to go with it. And the next thing you know, rather than paying your tithes, you're buying more games for your PlayStation. And next thing you know, more than paying your tithes, you're paying the insurance on that boat or house or whatever you have that has choked away your work for God. And just like Asa, you are trying to negotiate some way to get the relief that you want, and you're not able to find it. Because when you're finally able to get away to your getaway, you find you can't get away from your problems. Most of you carry a cell phone. Why would you carry a cell phone on vacation? That's a different sermon, but at any rate. I'm old enough. I'm 62 years old. I remember, I know y'all going to think this is weird and strange. I remember when people did not have cell phones. I remember that day. I remember that people actually lived for hours with no one being able to talk to them. I know that's weird. I know that's strange. But I remember those days, the good old days, when things like that happened. And we let things control us and choke us. And we spend so much in all of these things. Well, what did God have to say about it? What when the preacher finally came? You remember David and how that David was a man after God's own heart, and David did wrong, and he thought he'd got by with it. And one day that old sorry preacher couldn't get the preacher to visit him when he was sick, couldn't get the preacher to pet him when he wanted petting, but one day the preacher showed up. And the preacher said, David, you are the man. That sin that we've been talking about, you are the man. Well, let's see what happens when the preacher shows up with Asa as well. Verse 7. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, that is the preacher, the prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore the host of the king of Assyria is escaped out of thine hand. You missed the chance to have a victory from God. God wanted to do something great in your life. God wanted to make a great thing happen in your life. That's why God allowed this to come. You thought this was from the devil, but God says there are no temptations in your life. There are no problems in your life that do not come through the divine screen of God. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God said, I'll always provide for you. And you, and Asa, what's happened is you've let your victory go. Verse 8, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, He delivered them into thine hand. And verse 9 is our key in what we're going to wrap these things all up with. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, from this day forward, you think sin does not have repercussions? Did you know that you can do something in your life that will impact your life, even though it's forgiven by the grace of God, it will impact your life forever. From henceforth thou shalt have war. There are things that we do that come into our life and they impact us. And they change what our future would be. They change what will happen in our future. Because we have not followed the way of God. But in the midst of this, there is hope. I'm not trying to berate you and tell you bad stuff today. I want you to hear the good stuff. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, seeking to find somebody that He can show Himself strong in behalf of. Someone with a perfect heart that God can say, I'm going to use that person. I'm going to bless that person. I'm going to do something spectacular through that person. Because they have committed their lives to me. You know the story, we use it often, of Daniel and the Hebrew children. Did you know there were thousands of Hebrew boys that were taken captive? Thousands of them were taken to Babylon. I don't know the name of any of them, except Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why do I know their names? Because when they got to Babylon, they determined they would not defile themselves with the king's meat. They said, we're going to have a perfect heart before God. And they determined they were going to live for God. And they were going to serve God. And God said, let me show myself strong in their behalf. And so when they came to the lion's den, God delivered them. When they came to the fiery furnace, God delivered them. Now, had it been those other Hebrew boys, crispy critters, lion bait, because they would not have been where God could have used them. What God is looking for today is someone that He can show Himself strong in behalf of. Some of y'all showed up today at church just to be here. You didn't know Preacher Mac was not going to be here, so you're disappointed that he was not. Some of you showed up and said, well, we'll endure Mike or put up with Mike or whatever, you know. Well, I mean, you do what you do with that. And you go home today and you miss that God can change your life today. That God wants to change your life today. See, I'm not here to impress you. I don't get to do this very often. I'm not here to try to make a big deal today. I'm here today because I want, above everything in the world, for God to work in your life and for you to leave this building different than you came to this building. That God works, that you realize that, God, if I'll put myself in your hands, God, you will do something extraordinary. God, I'm so tired of hearing about other people being blessed. I'm so tired of hearing about God using other people in spectacular ways. God, I want you to do something in my life. And if you yield yourself to God today, the eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole world to show Himself strong in the behalf of someone whose heart is perfect toward Him. God wants to do something with you today. God wants to do something through you today. God wants to use you in an extraordinary way. He wants to make a difference that could change the world through you. I don't believe that God has brought all these people in Lebanon Church just so we can brag about having 300 people. I mean, I'm looking for 3,000 myself. I mean, I appreciate 300, but I sort of looking forward to 3,000 myself. I don't think I'm satisfied with 300. There are multitudes of people who don't know Jesus yet, and we want them to hear about Jesus yet. And yet God wants to use you. God wants to make you into something special for Him. But it takes you being willing, like Daniel, to stand and say, I'm going to live right for God. I'm going to serve God. I want to give God my all. The story is told about a young couple who wanted to buy a home. Could not afford one. Looked, and finally they saw an ad in the paper for a home for sale for $10,000. 3-bedroom, 2 baths, brick house, paved driveway, $10,000. They said, got to be a catch somewhere. Well, let's go check it out. I mean, it's worth, I just want to see what the catch is. I want to see what's going on here. So they went and they met the man who had advertised, and they looked through the house. It was fabulous. It was their dream come true. It was everything they could have wanted. And they looked and they tried to find, you know, was there a flood problem? Was it leaking? I mean, they couldn't find anything wrong. And finally, they talked with the man who was trying to sell and said, listen, I don't mind telling you, we are just overwhelmed with the house. We love the house. But, I mean, the price has just got us scary here. What do you mean $10,000? The man said, yeah, $10,000. I'll sell it to you for $10,000. But I have only one stipulation. Ah, yeah. I knew. You didn't be a stipulation. Okay. What do you want? You want us to live here for... What's your stipulation here? He said, all I want is one nail. I want one nail in this house. And they thought. And they thought. And they said, one nail? How could that... what's the problem there with one nail? So finally they said, we're going to do it. So they paid the man the $10,000, and they moved into the house, and for 3 months they were absolutely ecstatic with that house. It was everything they dreamed of. They'd rejoice. They'd say, oh man, we got this beautiful house. Got it for $10,000. Man, we got it. We are really good. After about 3 months, the man who had sold it to him came back in and said, how do you like your house? Oh, we love it. I think it's a great house. He said, well, I've come to claim a nail. They said, okay. And so he took a hammer, he took a nail, and over the door going between the kitchen and the dining room, he took that hammer and he took that nail and he drove that nail into the sill above the door going from the kitchen to the dining room. And the husband and wife looked at each other and said, okay, yeah, that's your nail. He said, yep, that's my nail. All y'all agree, that's my nail. Yep, that's your nail. This is our house. That's your nail. We can live with that. He goes out to his truck and he brings in a dead cat. He ties that dead cat's tail to that nail and lets it hang there. He says, what in the world's wrong? You ain't bringing no, why are you bringing a dead cat into our house? He says, my nail. I'll hang what I want to on it. And for the next week, dead cat hung on nail. You know the rest of the story. Eventually, they had to move out because they could not stand the dead cat on his nail. You know my question to you today? Does Satan have a nail in your house? What have you given him that he is using to control you? Something could not be big. But the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, seeking, looking to find someone with a perfect heart whom He can show Himself strong in the behalf of. Will you hold to the nail-scarred hands, or will you let Satan put a nail in your home? Would you stand, please, all over our congregation? Bow your heads, please, for prayer before our invitation. Father, we love you today. God, I believe today. I'm so excited. Lord, I can't hardly stand it today. Lord, I believe you have brought this message at this time to this people. Because somebody in here, God, you've been looking. And God, you've seen their heart. God, you want to do something wonderful, something strong, something marvelous in their behalf. If they will simply come and say, God, whatever you want to do with me and through me, I want you to do it. So God, I pray that today that they would just yield to you. And God, I pray that if there is someone that is being choked in their Christian life, maybe by just one single nail, that God, today would be the day they come to Jesus. Let Him cleanse them completely and give them the victory and the power they need. We pray in Jesus' name.